You're listening to SBS News.
In the village of Tatton, nestled in the hills just 3 kilometres from Thailand's border with Myanmar, there is little to life without the Kok River. For hundreds of years, it's provided fish for their families, water for their crops, and, in the stifling summer heat, a place for their children to cool down. For Gob Kottakam, it's where he's been making rafts all his life. It's never made him sick until now.
Every year when I make the rafts, I might get a rash or two, but within a week, it would go away. This time, there were a lot of rashes and they kept spreading. It was itchy. I had never felt that before. At first, I thought I was allergic to something. But then the people who were helping me with the rafts got sick as well. My friend got cut and his wound wouldn't heal. Another person went into the water and felt feverish. Then, after 2 months, it still hadn't gone away. So I went to see the doctor.
By that point, the Kok River was turning a strange shade of orange and the reports of illness were becoming difficult to ignore. 2 children aged 2 and 6 years old became sick after eating fish from the river. Test results showed abnormally high levels of arsenic in their bodies. Fish began washing up dead and fishermen started reporting odd deformities among their daily catch. Elephants that had long been bathed in the river began to develop unusual skin rashes and boils. Officials from Thailand's pollution control department came to test the water. They discovered arsenic levels 3 times higher than the safe limit. Local authorities then ordered everyone to stay out of the water, putting this village's largest source of income off limits and putting Mr. Kottakam in debt.
When I made the rafts, I had to buy wood. I invested around 50 to 60,000 baht, but this year there is no one coming, not a single customer. So, we are all in debt. Not just me, the whole village.
8 successive rounds of water testing have now confirmed dangerously high levels of arsenic in the Kok River. At first, it was widely blamed on gold mining upstream in Myanmar, a common cause of arsenic contamination. Then, researchers at the Shan Human Rights Foundation saw satellite images showing 2 rare earth mining sites over the border in southern Shan State, where the Kok River originates. Spokesperson for the group, Sai Hak Jet, says the mining sites sit between 2 and 3 kilometres from the river's banks in territory under the control of the United Hua State Army, Shan State's most powerful militia.
We also compare with the rare earth mining in Kachin and the layout of the Malaysian pool are the same. So we said that this is not just ordinary mineral extraction or mining. This might be kind of like rare earth mining in Kachin State. We also have heard from local people that all the water is very brown and they cannot use this anymore, but they have no other water source. Community in Shan State dare not to speak up because of the local authority.
The United Hua State Army has not responded to SBS's requests for comment. Rare earth mining uses chemicals to separate the valuable minerals from their ore. The process leaves behind highly contaminated liquids that often find their way back into the environment's waterways if care is not taken to contain them. Thai authorities say they are working on plans to urgently install sediment traps in the Kok River to stop the arsenic flowing downstream. But local leaders in Tatton fear that alone will not solve this crisis. Local monk Pra Mahanakom wants to see Bangkok engage directly with Myanmar's military leaders in Naypyitaw to end all unregulated mining across the border.
If we just try to solve the problem by reviving the river without closing the mines, we can't solve the issue. And if it can't be fixed, then the community will change. Our way of life will change.
Pra Mahanakom was born and raised in Tatton. After moving away to study, he returned to preside over Wat Tatton, a temple perched on a hilltop that overlooks the village and its river.
I bathed in the Kok River on the day I was born. The day I first hear the news, I went onto the bridge and I looked out onto the river. It was muddy, very muddy. That day, I felt like my mother was in the ICU and I was behind the glass doors. I couldn't speak to her, I couldn't touch her, I couldn't give her support, even one bit. That's how I felt.
Tatton is a village of less than 20,000 people. Almost all of them rely on the river in one way or another for their survival. Right now, during the wet season, there is enough water running off the region's mountains to keep their crops watered. But soon, the village will once again need to rely on water from the river. La Boon Ruang has lived in the same house right beside the Cock River for more than 50 years. He says farming and fishing is all he has ever known.
Before, if we didn't have enough water, we could just go get it from the river and carry it to our farms. But now, it's very dangerous. It impacts everyone. Not just one person, not just the whole village, the whole river, however many kilometres it is.
The contamination has already spread further than that. After it passes through Tatton, the Cock River empties into the Mekong, Southeast Asia's most important waterway, where abnormally high levels of arsenic have already been detected. So far, Thai authorities have taken water samples from three locations, spanning a roughly 20-kilometre stretch of the Mekong River. All have shown arsenic levels exceeding the safe limit. In the small village of Ban Sob Kok, about 15 kilometres downstream from the border with Myanmar, local fisherman Somdet Tanatulayukul says they have already started finding deformed fish in their daily catch.
There were some fish with scars. We saw them, so we didn't eat them, but they took them for testing, and when they came back, they had the arsenic. Buyers are now afraid to eat the fish because of the news. Before, I could earn more than 1,000 baht per day, but now, we can't even get 300 baht in a week.
There is now growing evidence rare earth mining is causing the contamination crisis. The Thai government commissioned Nesuan University Associate Professor Tanapon Phenrat to study the water.
We took water, soil, sediment, and some edible plant together with fish from five stations in Chiang Rai. So we quantify around 15 types of elements or ions in water sample. We compare the fingerprints of chemical, which is the ratio of different elements, with the water sample we got from rare earth mining in Kachin. The concentration in Thailand is lower, but the ratio of chemical are still similar. Should lead to the conclusion, or at least the identification, that it has to do mostly with rare earth mining.
Mapping by the Thai government's Geoinformatics and Space Technology Development Agency has now detected 60 disturbed earth sites across Shan State with suspected links to mining, 21 of which, it says, are newly active this year. It doesn't distinguish between regular mines and rare earth mines, but the Shan Human Rights Foundation says its mapping has detected a total of 47 rare earth mining sites across Shan State. Many of them are close to neighbouring China, which imported a record high of nearly 42,000 metric tons of rare earths from Myanmar in 2023. So far, Associate Professor Tanapon says the arsenic levels detected in the Mekong River are still far lower than that found in three of its tributaries that originate in Myanmar's Shan State, the Kok, Sai and Ruak rivers. But he believes we are not yet seeing the full impact.
Pollutants take time to transport. The pollutant is in particulate format. When you say arsenic, lead, they are in particulate, they're in small sediment that form in the river. So this thing does not transport as fast as water. It will form more particulate, more sediment, and will transport like wave by wave. There'll be more impact for sure. This is not at the steady state yet.
Thailand, Laos, and Myanmar all meet on the Mekong River. It then continues downstream into Cambodia and Vietnam, supporting 60 million people through fisheries, agriculture, and drinking water before emptying into the South China Sea. That's how far environmentalist Pyamporn Dietz from NGO International Rivers is warning the contamination could spread if it's not contained.
This is the largest environmental crime I have ever experienced. It's long-term violence. The result may not be seen within a year or two, but it can be seen in the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years with the newborn. Public health is the most concerned issue for us. We don't want to see our future generation to be sick.
Thai activists believe Chinese investors are largely behind the surge in mining across Shan State. Beijing controls roughly 70% of rare earth mining operations globally and accounts for 90% of their processing, during which the minerals are converted into elements used in a wide range of modern technologies, including smartphones, weapon systems, and rechargeable batteries. In June, China's embassy in Bangkok responded to the contamination reports, saying China has instructed Chinese companies operating abroad to comply with the laws of the country and operate legally at all times. But Ms. Dietz says most of the mining sites identified are in areas outside the control of Myanmar's military government, meaning any environmental regulations would be impossible to enforce.
It's happened in the area where there is no laws or safety standard. This is just the beginning of disaster. We've learned from Kachin State that 300 legal or illegal mines are happening with investors from China or Chinese-speaking investors. On our rivers at headwater, just a few, but there are more and more coming if there is no action from governments. The costs are being paid by our rivers, by our forests, our lands, and our future.
Claudia Farhart, SBS News.